I'm here today with Joni Deloria and Troy Kokel. Together they are Scarlett Butler, but they're also husband and wife, and they write songs together. So what got you guys started into writing songs? Like, I know, Troy, you grew up in Red Deer, Alberta, and Joni, you grew up in Manitoba. I forgot the name of the town already, but you grew up in Manitoba. How did you guys start writing songs, and how did you come together writing songs?
Well, so my parents were musicians, and I thought maybe I'd like to be a musician. And then when I was, I think I hit about 18, 19, I found out how much musicians got paid and how abused they were. I thought, no way, man. So I kind of, you know, shied away from music just because. But of course, I think you would know, Trent, because you grew up in a musical family. Yeah. When you're around music, it just kind of calls to you. So at some point, I decided I was going to write some songs. And you know, at first, it always starts out just you're just writing songs for you, for the, you know, for the good of your happiness and your health. And yeah, and it really just slowly kind of snowballed into me writing on a more regular basis. And I joined a songwriter group in Calgary, which we still are a part of, the Calgary Songsmiths. And that's actually where I met Joni.
Yeah. Okay.
And Troy came at it later in life when he started songwriting. And I think I came at it very early in life, sort of in that sort of teen angsty phase where, you know, probably where Taylor Swift, I'm a less popular version of Taylor Swift. I wrote about all of my sort of rejection, high school rejection, but really didn't consider it, didn't know it was an actual thing. I really had a passion for the writing, not so much for the recording. My family is quite musical as well. My mom has 15 brothers and sisters, wow, and they all play and sing. For me, I didn't know that songwriting was a thing until I left home for college, got a grown-up job, and you know, and then realized it just wasn't enough. And for me, having something more and reconnecting with songwriting led me to a songwriting group here in Calgary, and I met Troy, but didn't even meet him that day, but heard his music, and I was like, wow, that guy's awesome. He's not bad looking either. So yeah,
glowing reviews.
The rest is history. Yeah.
And I think part of it too is that for both of us, I would say, definitely for myself, is that songwriting really started out as a way to, you know, connect and to release some of your emotions and talk about your past and the things that we, you know, have bottled up inside. I think one of the things I realized about music and songwriting early on was that really great songs help people connect to and get closure to emotions or things that are hard for them, you know. And so started out as a cathartic thing. And so I feel really lucky that we get to do it, you know, more than just as a hobby. You know,
there's a quote that Craig Wiseman, who is like a very famous country songwriter, that really resonated with me. He said, I started out on a porch writing songs that nobody wanted to listen to, and I'll probably go out the same way. But for the grace of God, in this time, there seems to be an interest that people are taking in it. And yeah, I think that's so cool because it's the same when you start writing songs. I think especially, you know, for me in my early teens, I had no idea anyone would ever make a dime or I would ever make a dime doing it. But so it made it so pure and so innocent. Yeah. And that's what I love about it.
I think that's the beauty of songwriting is when you get involved with it, you're not chasing money. Well, most people aren't anyways, because most songwriters don't make a lot of money. Your quote reminded me of a quote that my dad used to say. He used to say, you know, I started at the bottom and I like it here.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so what was a point for either both of you or individually when you thought, hey, this is actually a pretty good song. Maybe I can make a go of this.
Wow. I would have to say that when I started writing, you could see that like people make money singing songs and playing at Ranchman's, which is a club here in Calgary. You know, I think that initially you start out thinking that it you can go and play, sing live and make some money at it. But I honestly feel like the songwriting for me anyways, it was kind of a mistake. You know, like we wrote a song. Joni was instrumental in writing a you know, sort of our first hit song, and it kind of just fell into the lap of someone, and so it was very serendipitous. And so I don't know that it was ever kind of like I never paid my dues. I never went decided to go to Nashville and sort of like, you know, fight the good fight. It's always been my life. And I think it's because I started older that, you know, it's just been kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing. Am I doing this? You know,
yeah.
I know it's different for you, Joni.
Yeah, I ended up getting an honorable mention in a songwriting contest when I was 15.
Oh, nice.
And it was for the for CKDM in Dauphin, which is not far from my hometown. And I remember getting feedback from Bruce LePere, who's well-known in radio circles, and he said, don't quit, like, keep doing this. This is a good song. Yeah. And I felt like that. I carried that forward many years. But I think, you know, to answer your question about when do you know if it's any good or not, I think we question that now. Yeah. We write songs all the time where we're like, it's a good song because we loved it or because it means something to us or we're processing something through it. But it may not be a fit for us as a band. It may not be a fit for us as solo artists. And it may not be a fit for any artists who are recording country music, which is another part of what we do is writing for other artists. So there's many times, I think, where just because you have had success doesn't mean everything you do is going to be successful. But I think, you know, I'm a terrible golfer, but I think it's like golfing. You know it when you hit it and it goes really far and yeah. really straight and lands where you want it to. But just because you get one or two drives like that doesn't mean that's going to be your whole game. And yeah. so I feel like that's something that we've learned and learned to appreciate. And probably the humility of being, you know, the Chumbawamba song, we get knocked down, we get back up again. Like, you can tell someone who's new to the business when they say, oh, I wrote this song and it's better than anything that's on, you know, here and that. It's like, okay, having more self-awareness of why songs are popular and why artists want to record certain songs, yeah. that comes with maturity. And I think we've come through that whole process as well.
I definitely feel like we have a slightly better sense of what might work commercially or what the middle 60% might enjoy. But I definitely feel like I heard Rick Rubin say one time, it's like, make art for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, make stuff that you like. And if people happen to like it, that's great. But I think the point of all of that and why I think that's really important is because you do your best work when you're just being yourself and saying the things that mean something to you and you know, because you draw the details and the emotion and all of the things that you want to say are going to be at their best when they come from your sort of core value system. Well, I think that it's really, there's been so many times when I thought, oh, that song's going to do great, you know, and it doesn't. And sometimes it's the production, sometimes it's the marketing team or the label or like, God, who knows what the...
It's right time, right place.
Yeah, there's so much that isn't within the songwriter's control. And so we just try to, I know for me, I just try to create something I like and hope people like it, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, you need to please yourself.
I've heard many songwriters say that they've written 1,000 songs before they wrote one good one. Did you have a similar experience or did you just hit the ground running and that was it?
Well, I know for me, like Pickup Truck, that was our big hit.
Yeah.
That was my, and I know this because I have a book and in each book was 25 pages of songs and that song was the 50th song.
Okay.
But I can also say this, that everything about that particular song was serendipitous. It was, you know, there was so much luck and, you know, fate and all sorts of things. Like when we had that success, definitely Joni was way ahead of me on the learning curve and the knowledge curve. But I can say for me at that moment, it's like, it was a wonderful introduction into it. But, you know, I have since written maybe 1,000 songs, but, you know, I certainly did not come at it that way for sure. Like, yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, it was actually the first song we ever wrote together.
Oh, wow.
Even though that's how we exchanged numbers was under the auspices of writing together. Mm-hmm. But it was actually the first song that we ever wrote together. We were both writing with other people. For me, I think it was definitely in my first 150.
Okay.
I think, yeah, to Troy's point, now we have thousands and... Not all of them are good and not all of them after, you know, turned out great. But I think for us, the big thing was when we went to Nashville, and I know there's, you know, I always like to say every time somebody says I wrote this song in Nashville, like a puppy dies, but but it is a, it is. We went to Nashville and we just sat at the Bluebird Cafe night after night after night.
When you could get into the Bluebird.
When you could actually get into the Bluebird Cafe and just treated it like the University of Songwriting and listened to songs that were like massive hits and also songs that were not massive hits but were brilliant songs.
Yeah.
And I think it really, we didn't write the song in Nashville, but for us, that was like a turning point in knowing, oh, it has to be that good and that clever and that sort of hooky. And, you know, we were so inspired. I remember writing like lyrics on the back of beer bottle labels, just trying, or napkins, just, you know, it's just very inspiring. And so I think had we had more of those experiences early in our songwriting journey, who knows? But yeah, I think you do get good by woodshedding and writing. Yeah. You know, it's like what we always tell young artists is don't record the first 12 songs that you write, because, you know, write 200 to get 50 that you really like. And then from those 50, you know, if you're going to do a album project with 10, you've got lots of choices.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, the first 12 that you write are probably not going to be perfect. So, you know, give yourself overwrite, like, and then edit down from there.
Yeah. And I definitely think, too, it's like the one thing about watching new writers and listening to hits on the radio. And I think about, I always think about one hit wonders.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I believe that we all have this ability to do amazing things. We, but in that, if fear, the greed, ego, when those things start getting in the way of the of that, that's when we start to fall apart. And I think about so many people that I know that have had success with, you know, with a song or with, you know, a piece of art that they've created. Often when they're creating that, it's out of pure joy, you know? So for us, when we started out, like it was just, it was purely a joyful thing. So I think part of our journey in songwriting has been like, because after we had that hit and people wanted more hits and there was a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
To all of a sudden turn this thing we loved into like business and to go network and do all these things that are necessary, but it just injected a lot of fear. A lot of fear and a lot of negativity into something that I have come to learn that it must be joyful. It must be joyful and playful. And so a lot of our journey has been like sort of coming back to that place where we were.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, our fears and egos and the world that we live in takes us away from it, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah. All right. Well, you guys, we're talking about Pickup Truck. Is that the tune you want to do for us today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
Me and my truck like to hit the streets. See just how many pretty girls we can meet after 2 a.m. on the weekend. There was a 9 out of 10 standing outside the bar. My name is Trent. Hey, how you like me so far? Was my pickup line. It's been working since, '99. She didn't even say a word. Turned on her heel and flipped me the bird. Lately we don't have the effect we used to have on the girls. Well, me and my old pickup truck, these days we don't pick up much. Oh, but this chrome on our hood, man, we're looking so good when we're looking for love. I'm sure we'll be rolling again one day soon. Somewhere around the bend, I know we'll have better luck. Me and my pickup truck. 9 out of 10 was still looking at me. I asked her, hey, are you from Tennessee? Because, baby, you're the only 10 I see. She smiled back, much to my surprise. I need a map, cause I'm lost in your eyes, was the last thing I said before her purse hit my head.
Now we're sitting here all alone, me and Chevy at the side of the road, wondering how our dynamic duo went so wrong. Well, me and my old pickup truck, these days we don't pick up much. Oh, maybe pink furry dice and a can of Old Spice are making us too hot to touch. I'm sure we'll be rolling again one day soon. Somewhere around the bend, I know we'll have better luck, me and my pickup truck. Maybe we need to give this thing just one more try. Some bigger tires and a new paint job with flames on the side would really pimp out our ride. Me and my old pickup truck, these days we don't pick up much. Oh, but I know in a while we'll be driving in style right on out of this rut. I'm sure we'll be rolling again one day soon. Somewhere around the bend, I know we'll have better luck, me and my pickup truck. Just a couple of fixer-ups, me and my pickup truck.
Sweet. Nice job, guys. I think that song is kind of a great example of how one song can change like three people's lives.
Yeah.
100%.
Right? Like it changed Shane's life and obviously changed your guys' lives as well.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing about it too was that what I loved about working with Shane, like, because when Shane started out, he's Indigenous, of course, as we all know. I was asked to sort of be his guitar background singer guy. And the cool part about that is we got to not only interact with, engage with, but we got to visit all of these Indigenous communities all over Canada. And I was sort of afforded the opportunity to just get to know people in our community and to understand like how vast and awesome it is. And so I was really, really grateful for that experience. So, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, before you guys go, why don't you let us know where we can find your music and if you got any gigs coming up?
You can find us on Instagram at We Are Scarlett Butler, as well as on Facebook at Scarlett Butler Music. And yeah, our website, scarlettbutler.com. We're all over all the socials. We have a few shows coming up. We have February 18th. We're playing at Chinook Blast at Olympic Plaza.
Sunday, 1 p.m.
And yeah. We will be playing the Calgary Folk Club on March 1st. So we're super excited about that too. And you can find all those details on our website.